very much in favor of the counting of points.
Does it work for you? No.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Run Through Your Favorite Figure Skating Podcast, where we talk about all the things that make us kiss, Mesa's cry. I'm Adam Ripon.
I am Ashley Wagner.
And visas
today is the one, the only, not Olympic champion, Sarah Hughes.
Wow, thank you for whatever accent those were, whatever accents
it started
those
were. Off as German, and then I realized that Worlds were in Montreal, and so it could become French.
That sounded a little
it
Ukrainian.
It could become French.
It could, but it...
And it did.
It could, and it did.
Okay.
If you believe anything can become French.
Yeah, well, then that is actually how all of Montreal is living.
No, oh, they believe.
To the French ice dancer.
Yeah, Cafe Starbucks. That's what the name of Starbucks is there.
Wait,
every business has to have a French name by law, so they all have like these funny names that, like, Cafe Starbucks and KFC.
What is McDonald's?
Yeah, KFC is like PFK or something to be Poulet Frites.
Okay, Kentucky. WTF. Just keep it Kentucky Fried Chicken.
No, they can't. It's not legal.
Oh my God. Kentucky Fried Le Coq Chicken. That's rooster. Never mind. I don't speak French. Poulet.
Neither do I.
No.
But I do have a streak going on Duolingo of my French. And, well, it didn't help me that much in Montreal.
Well, there's still
time.
And
this episode is brought to you by Duolingo.
That's right. That's right. Wow, what a week.
What a week.
World championships.
What a world.
I think we were correct in our assessment that this would be a good Worlds.
It was so good.
It was a very good World Championships. It felt very Worlds-like.
It felt like the best of the best.
Yeah, it was giving best of best. And it was taking...
worst of worst.
It was taking worst of worst.
Great week in Montreal. I'll say off the top, I felt like Montreal was a great host. I thought the arena was lovely.
It looked packed.
It was packed on Saturday completely. And most of the days it had a lot of people, but it was not sold out. Like, it was, you know, one of those things where it was, like, people in every row, in every section, but not every seat was filled. But I still felt like there were good crowds for everybody, pretty much.
You're basically saying it was no Lithuania.
It was no Lithuania.
What is? Literally, what is? Only, like, an Eras Tour concert is, like, a Lithuania European Championships.
That's true. No one can top that.
No.
But, yeah, Montreal was a great host. I really liked the Bell Center. Didn't love that it was 20 degrees or less for a few of the days that I was there. But, also, I met some listeners
in Montreal. On Instagram. How was that?
Yeah, I met a few listeners. So thank you to everyone who said hi to me in the concourses and in the stands and out on the streets.
My God, you were stopped in the streets?
Well, yeah, the streets around the Bell Center.
Doesn't matter where they are.
Yeah. That's where all our listeners are gathered right this second, actually. They're just on the streets outside the Bell Center. Had a great time. How was your at-home viewing experience?
It was exciting. It was thrilling for me. Ashley, how was it for you?
Thrilling for me because I got to explain to Alex that the World Championships are, in fact, the biggest event of the season. I did think that it being the World Championships that was self-explanatory.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
No.
He was like, so the Grand Prix final that we are watching, that's not as big as this.
You know what? In Alex's
defense. And I said,
defense,
some people would argue
yeah.
that is a bigger deal.
You know, depends on the year. I have to say that it does feel like the Grand Prix finals a bit like more exclusive.
It's harder to qualify for it.
It is. But he is wrong.
But he's still wrong. He's still wrong.
Yeah.
So that was great. It was Rosie's first Worlds.
My God.
So
what did she have to say?
She just kind of like bobbed her head a little bit. She was very into Adam.
Okay.
So she has taste right off the bat.
She does.
Yeah, good for her. She's a comeback queen.
She also really liked your daughter, Adam.
Kimmy Rapond.
Yes.
And yeah.
Really good.
I have to say, last year, I did not like her skating that much. She has grown on me. I am a Kimmy Rapond fan.
I'm so pleased that she was able to like come back from the Grand Prix and European Championships and have like another really solid competition like she had at Europeans last year, because I want to see her do well. So I was really happy that she had a really great World Championships.
She's one of those girlies that pulls it out for Worlds, because Worlds last year was great for her too.
Mm-hmm. And she was the European bronze medalist last year too.
I'm into her.
I had some questions initially about her roots, her dark roots into her bright blonde hair.
I thought you were talking about her Swiss heritage.
Her heritage roots. And I was like, I think they're white.
No.
Proudly Swiss.
Yeah. But I was being told that the roots, the way she has them, are model chic. So I don't have questions anymore.
No, and she is a model, correct?
She's your child.
Well, so then, yes, she's a model.
Yeah, you've been signing the legal documents.
Yeah, right. You have to give permission.
Allowing her to be employed.
That's true, actually. So I was actually testing you guys, and you failed by not answering yes.
Actually, I do think you're right, though, because once I got off onto, like, just a deep dive into Kimmy Rapond, and then all of a sudden I came across like one of her modeling gigs, and I was like, what am I doing? It's like I've gone way too far. It's 3 a.m. I need to not be researching what Kimmy Rapond is doing.
I do know for a fact that she's a model, because I commentated, I did the commentary for Europeans last year, and so I had her bio in front of me.
Did that sneak into your commentary?
Yeah, obviously.
Next to the ice, model and Swiss
and daughter.
And daughter, Kimmy Rapond.
Yeah, she was, can I just like dive right in?
What are we diving into?
The which Adam event? Seohyam Pha of it all.
Should we not first? No, I think we should go by discipline. I think it's easier to follow that way. So let's start.
Okay.
You want to start with the men?
I would like to start with the men.
Great.
May I take the mic?
Please.
And the stand?
Yes, take a stand on the mic.
I'm standing on the
mic.
And
why don't you take an oath while you're at it?
I have hand over heart. Raise my right hand.
Can you sing the national anthem for us? Because
some people can't.
Ilya could not, but that's all right.
They can mumble through. It was okay. We'll get to that. Because that was insane. Not even a word. Not a single word.
He was going watermelon pineapple, watermelon pineapple.
He was singing it in a not English language.
Sims. He was singing it in Sims.
In Simlish. Fluting flargen shoven flagon cheek.
1,000%.
Yeah, it was that we are talking about Ilya on the podium, medal ceremony, national
proudly
anthem playing,
singing the national anthem.
Not you can see the words coming out of his mouth do not match up with the lyrics of the famous song, the national anthem. Which was, I'll say it, funny. What I wanted to say. Men's skating is back. You can get 19th in a short program, and then you can get second in the free skate, and you can become a world medalist.
I love that.
Adam's free skate was one of the best free skates I've ever seen at a world championships. It was phenomenal. And I'm sure there was a moment where he started to sweat and think, I shouldn't
this
have done
going
a backflip.
Really well.
Yeah, Yeah, that's what I was worried about. Oh. Towards the end of the night, I was like, if this backflip costs him a medal. We were all talking about that in the, like, it's, it could have.
It could
have. It could have. It easily could have. And I hope, but I feel like it won't change his mind. I think he will keep on doing that. But that was a long time to sit and wait and figure out if 2 points was going to be worth it or not.
Oh, I'm sure it didn't even cross his mind until they were maybe in the last warm-up. I think once Shoma went under him, he was probably, like, that was shocking.
Yeah.
I
mean, you saw him in the green room. He's literally sitting there in shock.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he had been there for 3 hours.
Right, he was actually asleep. Right.
Waving at the camera for 3 hours. Hi, everyone.
Oh, my God.
Still in first. But that skate, and you know, okay, I was able to kind of like even it out, I think because of the backflip, the presentation score could go up. And like, it just, there was such an electrifying energy that like was in that arena. Sarah, you can tell me.
Yeah, speak to that.
Yes, please speak to it. You were in the arena. Did it feel
what
like
did it feel like
you were watching like a world champion skate?
I wasn't in the arena for this skate.
Well, that would make sense. Wait, that would make a complete and total sense.
Yeah,
because
you
Sarah
were
was working
3 hours
the show
early for work.
He was on before the programming window began, and I was out like grabbing a meal in between shows and like on
right
my way
that
back.
Makes so much sense
when
that's
he skated.
Of course.
So I was on my way back behind when he skated. I was keeping track live like on the scoring site. And saw his score come in at, I think it was like a 206, and I was yes like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
And so, and yeah, but I mean, that's how early it was. It was, yeah, he skated at, I want to say it was like 6:45 PM. I mean, the event
and
went till 10.
He was so far behind.
Yeah. But
he
you know what's
ninth,
so funny?
Place.
When I was watching the short program, JP was watching with me, and he was like, oh, you like this guy, right? And I said, yeah, he's very good. I said, he's just having a bad skate. Like, it's just, it's not a good skate for him. And he sees he's in 19th place. And I said, you know, he's in 19th place, but he's only about 30-ish points out of, like, a medal. And so, like, he actually, there's like, a chance he
could
still medal.
If someone could do it. He could do it.
Yeah, because his ceiling is so much higher in a free skate than so many other people that, like...
Well, he couldn't have done it if Shoma went clean, obviously. He could not have passed any of those three guys if they didn't make big mistakes. But, yeah, he would have been fourth. Still would have been fourth, like, which is incredible. So, anyway, I watched the skate after the fact. So, I've seen exactly what you've seen in terms of the energy in the arena, which I think we can all hear is electric and you know, but I think it was also probably a case of like these people are just getting in. He's like one of the first skaters. They're getting popcorn or whatever they're getting, and they're like, what's, you know, probably some of them not even fully registering how good it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because you haven't
know
had
if,
the build
if you're up kind of a recreational viewer who's just bought tickets to come see the event, and you know, it probably didn't register for everybody how good what they just watched even was. Obviously, the backflip is a crowd pleaser regardless. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, that was nuts.
It was wild.
I mean, that's going to go down in history as like one of the most memorable world's performances of all time.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, what was so interesting was that after Shoma skated, you could hear the audience like buzzing once the results came in that Adam was still in first. Like, I could hear and feel mm-hmm people talking amongst themselves mm-hmm about like
about
oh
how
my
insane
God,
yeah
that
yeah
guy's gonna medal.
Yeah, yeah.
Shoma,
poor Shoma. First of all, actually, let's talk about Shoma in the short program though first, because I think Shoma in the short program showed that he still has
mm-hmm
a magic it that the mm-hmm others don't.
Mm-hmm.
This I'll speak about the energy in the building. It was, you could feel this like mesmerized energy that everybody mm-hmm had. That was amazing. That short program was amazing. And I think it was scored appropriately that he was in the lead,
Sarah,
after the short.
You texted me and I was not watching it live. Mm-hmm. And so I just got a text from Sarah and it's like, Shoma, cry face. And I immediately was like, no, 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 not our baby.
Well,
not
you weren't immediately like anything. If I remember, you didn't text me back until 2 days later when he fell in his free skate. And then there was really something to cry about.
Well, so she was waiting till reality caught up with the text message.
She was waiting for the emoji to be applicable again.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which it was.
And honestly, we're lucky it happened now because it could have been a whole other skating season before I got back to you.
That's so true.
Yeah.
That would have been
scary. Yeah, but that short program really did. I mean, it solidified why he's still so relevant and still such a threat. Also, Jason doing the same thing in a short program of like, listen, I can tour the world all year and just show up to these two competitions and still do it.
I can do what I want.
On that note, I have something I want to play for everyone.
Oh, this is
okay.
Fun.
Okay. Other skaters that we have not talked about in this men's event, Jason Brown,
yes.
who was fifth last year, I think will probably be maybe a little bit lower this year given the field. Even
what
with
about,
clean
what do you think
skates,
about Camden?
But I don't know. What do I think about Camden?
I mean, he's a nice guy.
Yeah, big fan.
Yeah, when Camden's on, though, I think he could like definitely be a top six finish.
I mean, yeah, Camden got fifth at Worlds 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That's all.
Mm-hmm. And?
I stand by what I said. It's true.
Even though it's false.
Even though currently...
Me saying Jason's going to be lower than fifth, he wasn't.
No.
Ashley saying Camden could be top six, he wasn't. 20th.
Me saying he's a nice guy, he is.
He is.
He
that
is.
Part's right.
That's
he
true.
Is.
You're right about one thing. He's in a really nice guy.
I'm actually...
I really enjoyed re-listening to some of our conversations after Worlds was over.
Well, we don't claim to be all-knowing.
No, we
actually claim to not
know anything. I will say, though, I'm going
to
play like a couple of our funny predictions, but a lot of the stuff that we talked about was right. So.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, we are all-knowing. except for me. Because I just am bad luck all around.
But yeah, Jason, I wouldn't say that was me doubting Jason. It was
me, I think, thinking
very highly of this field overall and not counting
and me thinking
on
very highly
as
of Camden.
Many. Yeah, and me not counting on as many issues by other top men as we had. And there he is in fifth place 2 years in a row. That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
In fact, the U.S. has been fifth at the last three Worlds because Camden did it in 2022.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what happened with Camden. Like, he seemed like he was in, you know, good shape and has, you know, he had a great nationals and then he just, that the quad was off at Worlds and I don't know what happened, but that
I
was
just think what
sad.
He's doing is really hard.
I think it's
really hard to go to school and train at the world level.
I'm excited for when he graduates to see what his skating will turn into when he can fully like apply himself to his training. Because I think what he is doing, I mean, especially being in New York City, I think training in New York City, it's just not. I was shocked that he skated and did so well at Nationals. Not because I think he can. It seems impossible to train at Chelsea Piers.
I mean, the rink literally is on a tilt. It's not level ice. It's not like world caliber ice in the slightest. And the schedule is crazy. I think he's training on
like 6 a.m.
Yeah. I just felt bad that happened because he did skate so well at Nationals and I felt like he had a better chance to, you know, obviously a chance to do better than he did here. Another surprise to me was Mikhail Shaidarov.
Yeah.
Who has been clean all season and just messy.
But this is what, like, the World Championships is a totally different beast. It's a totally different beast. And it's not like skating at the Grand Prix. It's unlike anything else. Like, it's.
You feel how big it is.
Yeah. It's big. It's huge. It's the biggest. Like, it's the World Championships. And the vibe is different. and, you know, one mistake and all of a sudden you like look to see where you placed and you're 18th. Like, mm-hmm. it's just...
And it happens so fast.
It happens so fast. It's wicked at a world championships.
Well, yeah.
And then also, there's just so much more at stake. You're qualifying spots for your country. Like, there's just so many different levels to the world championships that I think make it way more unpredictable. And depending on your season, how much you've competed, how long you've been competing for, I mean, it's a long season.
Well, and people come out of the woodwork, like even more so at an Olympics, because you'll have people come back for an Olympic season. But at a World Championships, like Jason didn't compete at all this year. And then he just shows up at Worlds. And that's just one more place that you're going to go down if you're under Jason. You know, just somebody else who you just were not competing against at the Grand Prix, all of a sudden, just, you know, it's, you know, it's the best of the best. It's the World Championships. How many times can I say that? I'll probably say it a few more.
So speaking of the best of the best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of the moments that will stay most with me from the World Championships were on the day of the men's free skate when I saw Yuma run through his step sequence on practice.
Tell me about it.
I had full body chills.
Magical.
I am obsessed with that program. I love him. He is an incredible jumper. He's an incredible skater. I am like, I feel like we're blessed for him to be doing this well this early and to probably have quite a few years left to watch him.
Absolutely. The jumps are unreal. They are like dropped from the ceiling. Like, gorgeous.
And the finesse, too. It's
he
textbook.
He is, like, one or two seasons away from, like, he has all the makings of, like, to become one of the best skaters ever of a generation. Yes. And he is one or two seasons away from, like, he's scratching at the surface. Like, you can just feel.
This is year one of him working with Carolina.
Mm-hmm. And that Lori Nickel team and like that, just the everything about it where like he doesn't get what we can see yet. Maybe he does, but he doesn't like feel it in his whole being, and he's going to, like, he just will. And
he's one of those, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's all I'm gonna say is just like he's a few seasons, a season, two seasons away from becoming a master artist, because he feels it. And it's just the life experience. It's just everything else that goes into that.
Well, and the jump technique being so good and being what it is allows him to do so much more with transitions and between jumps.
It's so precise. Yeah. He's not wasting energy. Mm-hmm. He has more left to give. Yep. His program makes me really sad that we're not in a World Team Trophy year. Like, I just want to see it
one more time.
I want to see it again. I'm going to miss that program.
I know. God.
That's so... it just doesn't feel like enough. You know?
It's
like
not done yet.
Yeah. I could see him going back to it.
If he did it another year, I wouldn't get tired of it. Or, if he brought it back for Olympic season. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would be smart.
Please do that.
Wait to see what he does.
I bet you he'll come up with something even better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think when Lori Nickel has her heart behind it and she's like fully invested, it's like some of the best. When she's invested, she's invested. And you get those like magical Lori Nickel programs.
Yeah.
The ones that Carolina had, the ones that Michelle Kwan had, the ones that Patrick had. Like, you get those iconic programs because she can challenge the skater and they want to be challenged. You can feel that. And he's one of those people for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, even he fell, you know, on like kind of on a weird, like on his running edge out of a jump. Mm-hmm. It didn't even feel disruptive to the program. Like, it happened. He got right back up and like the program didn't lose anything.
No.
Which is a real testament to the way he skates it.
I love him. Well, and also it's a testament to, I don't think it was his last jump. It was definitely a loop closer to the end, but that could easily derail a program when you are also fighting for a podium spot and there's so much on the line. And I think it just speaks to how trained and prepared he is mentally and physically that you're right. It didn't take anything away from that program.
No. And also now one more medalist to go. I think Ilya makes it look so easy that sometimes, you know, and kind of like Kaori, where they make a mistake and they laugh it off and you're like, it's so easy for them. When Ilya ended his program, it was so nice to see just that release of emotion. And truly, like, what an incredible skate. What an insane thing to, like, witness. The 6 quadruple jumps, the quad axel, like, it really is unreal to just think that that's what we saw. That's what was competed. It's not real life. Like, it's so crazy.
And he looked like he could do another program. Every jump looked so easy.
Well, he could do more jumps.
Yeah.
He could do more jumps. He could do more jumps for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Alex was asking me about these two in particular. He's like, okay, so I think I know why you like Yuma more, but why is this better? And it's just like, it's not necessarily that it's better. It's just that technically there is no shot that any of these men can catch up to that. He's got such a head start.
Well,
and if component
scores were used properly by judges, maybe they would have a shot, but they aren't. That's not the reality that we live in.
Right.
So,
yeah, that's true.
But
Ilya gets a 90 to Yuma's 93, and it's
which
just
is not
this is
the
out
same.
Of a scale of 100, and we're saying they're 3 points apart. It's just like, that's not correct. I think it's obvious that that's not correct,
right?
Which is fine. Somebody pointed out on Twitter, like, you know, oh, well, you know, Ilya still would have won with 20 points lower PCS. Okay, then put his PCS 20 points lower and let him win that way. That's fine.
Right.
But, like, that's how – I'm not saying 20 points lower, whatever. I'm not giving a number. I'm just saying, like, the components
not
are not
3 points.
Appropriate. They're not appropriate. And it's – well, and this is the other thing. It's like, look, I know it's a world championship, so this is in theory like a – not in theory. It is in reality a great crop of skaters. Mm-hmm. But like the component scores for the men's free skate do not go below a 64. So, okay. Like, I just don't think, does everybody exist in the sixes at least who's here for sure? Like, I don't know that I'm sure about that. Like, and I think it's maybe they do. But to me, it's all about scoring. To me, is all about relativity within the event. So if we're saying, you know, let me make up a name. Okay, Sihyeong Lee from South Korea, of my quick skim, appears to have the lowest component scores here, a 64. We're saying that he gets sixes and Yuma gets nines.
Right.
They're 3 points apart.
Right.
That's my problem with it. Why even have a scale of 10?
Or why even have three different, like, you know, we used to have the 6 different, you know, component marks, and now we have the 3. And at this point, it's just like, why even have the 3 if they're just basically different versions of the same score as how they're being judged? It's not according to what you're actually seeing.
Correct.
You know, because the skating skills is, it's an obvious one where that's where you see the biggest discrepancy. And I think when you see the composition, it becomes, you know, a little bit more vague of like, well, it's set up nicely or this or that or with the transitions. But I still think that there's this huge discrepancy of what we're actually seeing. Until we get to performance, where arguably, yes, Shoma and Yuma have this like quality to them, and Adam as well, of where it's just this elite performance. But, you know, to play devil's advocate for Ilya, if you're getting people out of the seats for doing something so technically crazy and insane, and you've created a moment for yourself, in that is also a performance. You know,
yeah,
that deserves
a
high performance
exciting.
Mark. But
he's exciting to watch.
I do feel that, like,
but that's,
you know,
one mark.
It's one mark, exactly.
That's one mark. Yeah. I just think it's, yeah, it bothers me to see the scores as the way that they are, the component scores be as close as they are. I just don't see the point of having them.
Right. Anymore. And I feel like there should be more room for different kinds of athletes to find success, because I think that it should be closer between him and Yuma, because what Yuma does so well, Ilya can't do as well. And what Ilya does technically is so amazing, so he should also be rewarded for it. But there should be some middle ground of, like, because I feel that if they both go clean, Yuma is the better skater. He is the better all-around skater. And even if Ilya is maxing him out technically, it should be, like, neck and neck at that point.
Or they should just closer. Just closer.
It should be closer.
It's not, this is not me saying, well, Yuma should have won. I don't think
I don't think that. I don't think that either.
But I think that the point discrepancy was it's a little much. And, you know, somebody else on the internet, which is where I get all my ideas, made the point that they could make spins and steps more valuable.
They have
to. Because those are where, you know, people like Jason or, you know, or Yuma or Shoma, you know, can really like add to a performance and really show off those component marks. Like, make those more valuable. Make that matter more, you know,
they
because I got to tell you, like, I rewatched Ilya's program and yes, it is maybe the most unbelievable athletic thing I've ever seen in real life. Mm-hmm. But that step sequence had nothing in it.
No. I mean, he skates very juvenile. Like, he skates like a boy, especially compared to the skaters that skate. Like, Adam Sjohimfoss skates like he takes
work
up every inch of the full arena, that he's moving space. You can feel him moving the air around him. Like, it's just, he completely conceptually understands what he's doing. And Ilya's not there yet. I think he's made a lot of incredible strides forward in the right direction, and I you can tell he's just not disregarding it, but it doesn't move us in the same way. And I think it's really important that that the skaters that move us find success, because that's when a non-skater really watches skating and goes, oh, it's amazing, this is amazing.
Yeah So okay. The men's event it was a great event regardless. Ilya deserved to win regardless. And what he did was, nothing short
amazing.
Of unbelievable. I look forward to him seeing the in-between parts of his programs as being as important as the jumps. I just don't think he sees it that way. And why would he? He gets the marks anyway.
Right.
That's the problem.
I don't think it's that he doesn't see it that way. I just don't think he's there.
Well,
yet.
The reason I say that is because I watched Ilya's practices where he tends more to mark jumps in the program run through and do the in-betweens a bit more. And he likes to drill his jumps outside of the music more. And in his program run through, in practices, those sections way better than they were on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
He gives them up in order to do the jumps or to conserve energy to do the jumps. That's why I'm saying it comes across as it's just not as valuable to me in the moment.
Right. Which, I mean, if you're doing all of that stuff,
it
isn't. And so
that's not his fault. It's who he is as
it's his
yet.
Strategy. And you have to know as a skater of how much can I give before it becomes, before it interrupts what I can give technically. And it's such a drop off that, you don't see that with, you see Adam Sjohimfa giving 135%. And if the jumps go, they go. And that's obviously not Ilya's game plan, you know, and Ilya's a world champion.
Yeah. Which that's not Ilya's mindset's fault.
No.
That's the way the scoring system is set up.
But I do believe that as these skaters mature, Ilya is going to have to step it up, and he's going to feel that because I think that, like, yes, technically he is going to be further ahead, but there's going to be such a talk of like so many people being like, well, I don't like it, or it shouldn't be like this, that he's gonna feel that pressure. He's going to be pushed
to do something about it,
to shut people up, and he's gonna want to do that, because if you're competitive like that, you're gonna want to prove people wrong and be like, no, I can do it, I can do it. And I hope that that's the case.
Should we get into the women?
I want to say one more thing about the men.
Cat got your tongue, Sarah. I almost asked you. I felt like you weren't done.
In talking about the online conversation about whether this is the greatest free skate of all time, first of all, it isn't. I mean, it's like the best like jumping performance I've ever seen. But that's different than being the best skate ever. And it was interesting. Like, a lot of people were posting old Nathan programs, old Yuzuru programs as points of comparison. And I felt guilty watching some of Nathan's old programs, because I remember feeling a little bit the way I feel now about Ilya when Nathan was young, thinking he is not, you know, as invested in the artistic side as I want him to be. I remember thinking that and being like, it feels like all jumps. And then you watch some of the old programs and you're like, oh, he was not that bad. He was just, he was being compared next to Yuzuru Hanyu.
Right, who's like one of the greatest skaters of all time.
Yeah, and Javier Fernandez, who's also
arguably one of the best skaters.
And like, those people were skating next to him. And so he would go skate, and he, now looking back, I'm like, he really was pretty good at a young age. Yeah. I mean, we all know Nathan had like a lot of ballet training and blah blah blah, but I feel kind of bad having thought that, and I know that Ilya is not benefiting from skating right after Shoma and Yumo. I'll say that.
Of course.
That's what I'm saying. That does not benefit him. And that,
no, because...
And I'm not sitting here being like, he sucks. It's just, it is hard when they skate back to back to watch them get really similar scores in that area. Just as it felt, I'm sure, to many people, including myself sometimes, for Nathan to go back to back with someone like a Javier, Patrick, or Yuzu and get a similar score.
Right.
Even though now we look back in hindsight and we're like, Nathan was pretty good.
Right.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
But you know what's so funny?
Olympic champion.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
He's okay. But you know what? Because when we did our pre-Worlds episode, when I watched Ilya at Worlds, I was watching and was thinking to myself, oh yeah, there's a lot of transitions here. Like, there's more than I remember there being, and there's lots of really difficult turns and steps into all of these jumps, and you know, it's always hindsight, but it does not help that you go behind some of the best skaters we've ever seen. The quality of skating is some of the best quality that's like ever been on the ice, so it doesn't make it easier.
No And I mean, now, yeah, going right after a masterpiece that Lori Nickel did for Yuma is, I mean, it's just tough.
It is tough.
Let's talk about the women. And you know what? I have another little piece of audio to play.
Oh, God. Okay. Here we go. The medalists. It could be anyone down from like Nina Pinzeroni, Amber Glenn. Like, it could literally be anybody.
Yeah.
It could be me.
Oh, my God. What I
could
to
do
see
it.
Our little Belgian girl and Amber Glenn on the podium.
Did I just name a podium? That would be so terrifying.
That's a potential podium.
It is.
Yeah, that's totally a potential podium.
It wasn't a potential podium. No.
Well, Nina had a bloody nose.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But that was a potential podium.
It was. This women's event was all over the place.
Yes.
So cuckoo crazy.
There was one person in the top three in both segments, and it was Isabeau Lévito,
the most consistent skater in the world.
I mean,
at the world championships.
I mean, like, it was all over the place. There were so many people who had one great program and one, you know, huge mess, like, or vice versa. Like,
I told you, ice is slippery.
No, you were right that the women were going to be a mess. And I was like, they're not. They're going to be great.
And we were like, Ashley, come on. And now we're like, Ashley, we're sorry. This is a public apology.
No, yeah, this is a public apology.
Female figure skater, I knew.
You did. and you've known.
Because guess what? I would always go to the world championships and be messy.
Yeah, she says this with a world medal. Yeah.
Well, once I wasn't. wait, I have a really fun fact before I forget.
Okay.
This is the first time that the U.S. women's team has qualified for three spots without the assistance of Karen Chen in, like, quite a while.
Since 2016.
I mean, Karen Chen always gets fourth place at Worlds, famously.
Which is very helpful to getting three spots.
She is really trying to convince them to start the pewter medal up.
I mean, they were really lucky to get those three spots. Oh. Really lucky. When her free skate was done, and we can talk about Amber in a second, but like when her free skate was done, she needed, I mean, she was in a position where if everybody went in front of her, that over. Isabeau was going to have to win to get the three spots. And Isabeau, I mean, luckily, like Isabeau did skate well. I don't think she had any chance to win after what Cowrie did. That wouldn't have happened. And, you know, it ended up being that multiple people went behind Amber and they were fine. But, you know, Isabeau still had a lot of pressure on her and had to be in the top three.
Right.
So that was lucky for them that they got those spots. And I'm really glad that they did because I want the women to have three spots in Boston.
Right. Because it's gonna be better for them to hopefully get three spots for Olympics. But
yes,
even besides that, it's going to be great to have those three spots at a home world championships.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's great for us. Let's talk about my predicted world champion, Amber Glenn.
Yeah. Let's go.
I thought that Amber was going to have a great free skate after having what I felt like was just a shocking, weird, out of body fall in the short. Like I thought, okay, you know, she got caught up in the moment, fell on her last jump in the short, and then, you know, and said when she got off, she was like, I'm just sort of in shock, like, you know, that I did that. And I was like, okay, I feel like she's gonna have a good free skate now.
Yeah.
And then
it starts out that way. That's what's so frustrating. Yes.
It does. It always starts
and
that
it way. It just starts out. I mean, you can just tell that the way that it started, that's it feels like that's what she does all the time at home. The triple axel, triple, your next triple. Like, it just feels like check, check, check. Like, it really just feels so in your
relaxed.
Back pocket. And then the footwork gets going.
I watched Amber have a practice on Tuesday before everything started where she didn't miss a thing.
Yeah.
She looked unstoppable. And I was like, you know, it's kind of like she did at Nationals.
Yes.
And it's just, and she switched a couple things in her free skate. The jump composition in the second half, I think, in an effort to, you know,
address Nationals issues.
Yeah, to just like not get as, you know, not have that break in the middle of the step sequence be an issue. And it didn't work, I guess. I don't know. Ashley, any thoughts?
There is no excuse at the level that she is at to pop jumps. There's no excuse. Like, I love her. I love her as a person. I love her as a skater. At the caliber that she is at, popping jumps, unacceptable. It just is unacceptable. And then to not only just do it like, oh, bad competition, to do it multiple times.
Yeah.
Not okay. The loop in her short program, she did not need to fall on that. And so I think, you know, I really relate to
Amber. But better that
Amber.
Than the pop, to your point.
I'd rather her fall,
yeah.
Pull in and fall. Yeah. But like I relate to Amber a lot. I see a lot of like what I struggled with in Amber's skating. And so I think the reason why I get so frustrated with her is because I'm like, oh, I know how you feel. I've been down this road. She's such an emotional skater. And when you're so emotional, you're a lot more present. And that presence comes at a cost because you're so much more aware of what's going on element by element. A lot mm-hmm. of skaters can just go into that like flow state. Your mind is off. Your body's just doing the work. I was always so aware of the skate that was going on. And you see that in Amber, like that footwork sequence. She has all that time to just sit and think about what's coming up next. And the fact that her team didn't like highlight that as, all right, this is kind of a problem area and maybe choreographically it works really well, but just like mentally it's not helping her. I don't know. I want the best for her. I want to see her thrive, but at a certain point, it doesn't matter how good you are in practice. Like you have to be able to deliver, and I want her to go home and really figure out the mental side because she's just too good to not be on a world podium.
Yeah. She's too good not to skate. Who cares about the world podium at this point? She's too good to not skate a clean program.
Yeah. Yes.
She's just too good
to
be making
silly
mistakes.
The bar that we set for ourselves at Liberty International.
Right. Your favorite
Ashley's favorite competition.
I mean, no, it's just like, it's incredibly frustrating because it does. I mean, at this point, it feels like go home, put pen to paper, and figure out a strategy of like, how am I going to address this?
Yeah.
What am I going to do to address this? What's like, happened multiple
call me,
times,
Amber? I will literally sit down with you and help you figure this out. But like, you know. She's someone that I would want to see on our Olympic team. And also, mm-hmm. like, I just think it would be so cool to have Amber Glenn in the mix at the Olympics. Like, that's, I just want
she
that
should
kind
be
of a
in the mix. And the problem with this, aside from just that it's, you know, it's hard to watch as a fan of her. I know it's hard for her more than on any of us.
Yeah.
But, like, what sucks about this is, the longer she doesn't figure this out, the harder it's going to be to contend for a medal at the Olympics if she does make the team.
Yeah.
She has got to, like, show... The consistency has to be shown. Like, I mean, yes, there are instances where you come out of nowhere, but those are rare. And Amber doesn't have the track record. And, I mean, look, I just got off a rant about how the component scores work. It doesn't work exactly as we'd like it to. And part of you getting your artistic marks up is being consistent at international competitions. Mm-hmm. And right now, if she were to go to the Olympics next month, she wouldn't have the second mark to contend because she isn't consistent enough. And that would be the real tragedy if she figured it out too late and then was there and should be able to contend and ends up in like fourth or fifth because she wasn't there long enough.
Right.
That is what would really break my heart in the end.
Well, I have another concern about, you know, taking it out of that international conversation. Domestically, like what I am worried about is if she keeps on down this road of inconsistency, she's going to lose support in the U.S. And like I see what happened to me post 2016 Worlds where I had a couple of rocky seasons. And then by the time I showed up to 2018 Nationals, I wasn't seen as reliable enough and I didn't get the scores that I think mm-hmm. I probably should have because I had lost trust in my own judges. And mm-hmm. like, that's what's going to happen.
For better or worse, that's how it works.
Yeah.
But usually for worse, but like that is how it goes. Right.
Like, yeah. And so she's gotta figure it out. This is like not, you know, it's not the end of the end for her.
No,
like,
it's not.
This is the perfect time to get it figured out, though, because if she can have, like, if she can find it, whatever it needs to be, new program compositions or, you know, whatever work she needs to do to mentally get past this, like, if she can have a great pre-Olympic season and then mm-hmm. have a great Olympic season, that would be enough.
That would be enough.
Now's the time to figure it out, though.
But because everything else seems right. Like,
yeah.
The jumps outside of the program feel great. The coaching mm-hmm. situation feels great.
Mm-hmm.
The team she surrounds herself.
Her life situation feels, she seems happy. She seems healthy. Like she, I completely agree. I don't think, I think if if we can take a positive, it doesn't seem like she needs a big life change to get this figured out. I think she's mm-hmm. in the right place mm-hmm. and she just, you know, it needs a little time.
Mm-hmm.
But she yeah. has everything she needs.
Yeah, yeah. she does.
Yeah. yeah and, you know, we'll move on to the podium. Watching the women, Kaori was a woman. A woman.
She's a
Kaori
woman.
Kaori was.
A woman amongst women.
Girls. Yeah. She was a woman among girls.
Yeah.
And Amber's a woman among girls, too.
Right.
That's the kind of program she could deliver, too.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
absolutely.
It's a, so that's like what I'm desperate for. It's not about being critical of Amber. It's about wanting to see more of what Kaori shows
selfish.
From the other women. Yeah. I want more of those types of programs.
I want
well,
more women.
Even.
Yeah. Bring back women's figure skating.
it's not about age at all. It's just it's the way she skates, the power, the emoting, the performance,
the command.
Yes,
it's over the, an arena.
Right. It has nothing to do with age. I would say, like, you know, it's just like Luna is a woman mm-hmm. among girls when she skates mm-hmm. well. It's not about age, although I think a lot of times they coincide.
Mm-hmm.
Kaori gave no one a single shot to win.
Fierce.
When she did that free skate, by the way. I mean, mm-hmm. Luna, maybe, but looking at it as it came in live, Luna would have needed just about her personal best. And mm-hmm. even with the short program lead, Kaori just...
Yeah.
But it was like the first time her feet had been held to the fire. And she was like, that's it. No, I'm winning this world title.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm joining Peggy in history.
Yeah.
And it was like, again, like Ilya having that emotional, like, let go at the very end. You know, when Kaori didn't skate well in the short program, and it's just, you know, she's laughing it off and whatever. We all do what we need to do to cope with stressful situations. But when I see that, I'm like, it's easy for her. Like, it's easy for her. And I'm glad that she's able to just, like, brush it off and move forward. But then when I could see her just, like, let go at the end of her free skate, I'm like, no, it's just as hard for her as it is for everyone else. And it's so good to see how much it means to her. And it's
yeah.
so good to see how much energy and emotion and how much of herself she put into that and how important it was to her. And it was just, it's so, I love to see those moments.
Yeah. Yeah, she was great. Isabel was also great. I mean...
It was nice to see her react with, like, some emotion at the end, too.
Well, and after what happened at Nationals, falling three
yes.
times in your free skate, I think you go, you know, one of two directions with that, which is letting it affect you or not. And, you know, she, whatever she did in between those two events to put that behind her, she did it well, and there she was, and, you know... Is she the very best, smoothest, most powerful skater out there? Maybe not, but I think she would have been third regardless of what anybody did. She would have been third at least. Like that,
yeah.
She skated like a world medalist. She put
she
two
did.
Clean programs together, two difficult programs together, two pretty artistically mature programs together.
Right. And I mean, you know, when I was watching her throughout Worlds, I was like, you know what? Good for her. That I liked the skate, the snake short program, but like, good for her. She put together, this is the best of what I can do right now in this moment. This is me at my very best. I want to win a world medal. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
And it paid off. Like, it was a strategy that paid off. Of course, we want to see people, you know, challenge themselves and out of the box. But when it's at these major events and you've got something to prove, she had something to prove and she proved it. And she skated like a world medalist. Completely. Yes, even if Luna was perfect, Isabel was on the podium. She was skated like she should have been on the podium.
I completely agree.
I have to tell you guys something.
Okay.
That Andrea Joyce told me. Which is
what
that
did Andrea say?
Which is that a fan, I believe, gave Isabel a sticker or a pin to wear that she was wearing on her credential. That was, you know, that American flag with Nicki Minaj on it.
Oh my
yes.
God. Yeah.
The one that you have in your house.
Yeah, it's in your workout
yes,
room,
I
isn't it?
I have that flag, yes.
Somebody made that, put Isabeau's face on it. on it on Nikki's face for the Izabarbs.
Izabarbs.
Come through.
Izabarbs.
Izabarbs.
There is a fan presence, and we made it known.
Yeah, it's Izabarb Nation.
But they exist. Yeah.
Yeah, so Izabarb Nation is real, and
that's
you know
so
what? And
funny.
Glenhead Nation is real, too.
It's very real.
Two very supportive fandoms.
That's so good to see Izabarb representation.
You know what I want to talk about?
Oh, you have a sad face. What?
Mone Chiba. Could have, should have, would have been on this podium with a good short program. She skated so well in the free skate. Just could not get out of the hole that she had after the pop in the short. I felt so that, that's such like a first world's like, like you just cringe and feel so bad when that happens. But
you
she'll be back. She'll be on a world podium.
She will totally be back because just the way that she got herself together for the second half of the season, like now we know she's one of the best women in the world right now. Like she deserves to be in that top five mix. And now we know. And so now it's just what will she do with the knowledge that we know, the three of us specifically.
The three of us on this podcast.
We know. Three kings.
All knowing as we are.
Yes. So Ashley, Sarah, I think that we should put a pin in it. It's already been an hour. Why don't we use this as like a part one of two parts?
Okay, I think that's a good idea. So we will get back for our recap of the pairs because Deanna Stellato Dudek requires our attention and the dance. So stay tuned and we will get part two out very shortly.
Yeah.
But until then.
Until part two. Because also we have the this draft.
We have the draft.
The draft results, which is, I mean, that's a huge part of coming back for part two. So yeah, Ashley, why don't you sign us out for part one?
Bye.
Bye. Bye.